Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Light of the Southwest. I'm your host, Eric Espatia, and of course, I have my beautiful bride,
Holly Espatia. Shalom, shalom.
We are so excited to be with you this afternoon, and we have a very special guest with us. We do have Patrick and Rebecca joining us. They came all the way from Israel with Bridges for Peace. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us. We're excited to be here. We're glad to just be a part of God's Learning Channel and everything that God's Learning Channel is doing here in Texas and around the world, really.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bridges for Peace. Okay, you guys are, you've been around quite a while. Your foundation was founded
over 50 years
ago.
So our organization has been in Israel for over 50 years. Our founder came from Canada originally, and he came to Jerusalem to start a Bible training center. And so with the purpose of training lay workers to spend time in Israel learning the Bible in context, to return to their homes and teach the Bible in context. And very successful work until 1967. So in 1967, rockets started coming in on Jerusalem. They couldn't have class any longer. They canceled class, gave all of the students an opportunity to return home. Everybody decided to stay, but you can't go on having classes with rockets coming in. So they took the school vehicles, stripped them of the seats, and began to use it as ambulance or to deliver food and supplies to the soldiers. And really that was the beginning of the humanitarian side of Bridges for Peace.
Wow.
So yeah, a great history. Interesting that we find ourselves in another time of war, and we actually were birthed out of a time of war. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. I know you guys are doing some amazing stories, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about them. But Patrick, tell us about your role with Bridges for Peace. I know that you just are looking at I don't know if it's a promotion or what it is, but you're kind of moving up in the Bridges for Peace world. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we've been with Bridges for Peace for about 14 years, and we started volunteering with Bridges for Peace here in the United States, just telling the church and our friends and everybody that would listen to us about Israel.
Yeah.
Because God did a work inside of our heart, and we opened up the Bible and learned something new from the scriptures about God's heart for Israel, and we wanted to share it. And so with the help of Bridges for Peace and the education that they provided us, we started traveling all around the United States, telling people, mostly young people, about God's heart for Israel. And then God called us to Israel to serve and to be a part of the team there in Israel. And so for the last 10 years, we've been serving in Israel, both as the young adult coordinators and then as the operations manager. So overseeing all of the outreach of Bridges for Peace there in the land of Israel. And so during the course of the last 10 years, God really just infused our heart with Israel. And then he told us it's time to come back to the United States. And once he called us back to the United States, he said, you know what? I want you to serve my nation, Israel, in the United States, teaching the church, teaching people about my heart for Israel, whether it's from the scriptures or whether it's from history and context of the Jewish people.
Wow.
We're going to be focused on that. And so I am the Deputy National Director for Bridges for Peace, working there in Melbourne, Florida. And I'm working underneath my director, Jim Solberg, who's been the director for, I'm not going to say how many years, but it's, I'm thinking it's longer than I've been involved, probably pushing the 20-year mark.
Yeah.
And so Jim has been a faithful servant of Bridges for Peace for many, many years, just loves Israel and has just done a great work in the United States, and I am following in his shoes, and I'm really excited to just go to Florida, be mentored by him, and really have an opportunity to take that mantle and carry it on to the United States.
Awesome. What an amazing heart you have. Do you mind, Patrick, just open this up with a word of prayer?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name, Lord. You are good. You are the King of the universe, Lord, and you reign. And we thank you, Father God, for your heart that's with us today, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you are moving on the earth, Lord God, and that you see all things, and that you know all things, and that you care. Lord Father, I thank you that you care about each and every individual life of those people who are watching this episode, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that you care about the nations, Lord, that you care about the world, and you care about the apple of your eye, Israel, Lord God, and that you are moving, Father, to fulfill your covenants here in the earth, Lord God, in fulfillment of prophecy and in fulfillment of your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of what you're doing here on the earth today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't it exciting that we get to live in these times when we get to see the like you said, the prophecies coming and
oh, yeah.
in our days. And I think Yeshua even mentions how special this generation is, that we get to be a part of it. Yeah. And you too have this amazing heart just to say yes and serve. And that's so great. So tell us a little bit more about what Bridges for Peace does. I mean, what I imagine, okay, so here's in my head, the bridge is, you know, how do we show the Jewish Messiah to our to the nations, to our Christian brothers? And then how do we show, you know, Israel in relationship to Messiah? And you're kind of just trying to clarify it, right?
Well, I'm glad you started with the bridge, because it's really important. Mm-hmm. You know, today we have a lot of people wondering about our name because they're more concerned with reconciliation, I guess, between Jews and Arabs. Well, what we're doing is we are building a bridge between Jews and Christians. Mm-hmm. And when you think about a bridge and the purpose of a bridge, it's for someone to get from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And usually there's something to overcome, right? Otherwise, there's just a road. But you need a bridge if there's water, if there's a lake underneath, if there's a pit underneath, you need a bridge to help get over. And so what we're doing is we are building relationships on two pillars. So the first pillar is the pillar of education. And this is largely what we're going to be doing here in the United States. Now, I grew up in the church. And you talked about how exciting it is to live in prophetic times. When I was a little kid, I remember thinking it would be so exciting to be living in Bible times. Mm-hmm. The more I learned about Israel, I realized we are living in Bible times. But so much of the church doesn't understand that. Mm. In fact, when we were first introduced to Bridges for Peace in Israel, it was hand in hand for us. We were surprised by some of the things we were learning. We didn't know that there's 2,000 years of really bad relationship between Christians and Jews. We didn't know the history of Christian anti-Semitism. We didn't know that today many of the Jewish people still see the Holocaust as a Christian assault on the Jewish people. We were shocked by that. Mm. And come to find out, we weren't the only ones. And so that's why we have that pillar of education. We have offices in 8 different nations. We're in the United States, in Canada, Japan, South Korea, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, and the UK.
Ooh,
I got them all. I got them all right. And so in those nations, we're building teams of representatives. And really just saying, whatever time you have, whatever your giftings are, whatever influence you have, begin to bless Israel by educating the church. We provide materials. We have a website, bridgesforpeace.com, where we have 3 new news articles every day. One of the things that a lot of people, a lot of groups, I hosted a lot of groups in Israel, a lot of people asked was, what news sources should I believe?
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
I get
question.
That, right?
Good question.
Because there's always news about Israel coming at us, but I don't know what to believe. I always tell people go to bridgesforpeace.com because you're going to get 3 new news articles that are coming from a biblical perspective from people who are living in the land. We have books, we have magazines, the Dispatch from Jerusalem comes out every other month, and that's articles on culture, the conflict, politics, religion, just up-to-date current events. We have a teaching letter that comes out every month. And in the teaching letter, we take a biblical concept. So let's say this month we're talking about love. And we're going to look at what the Jewish scriptures say about love. We're going to look at what the writings of the apostles say about love. And then how is it applicable today? And so the people who receive this teaching letter are really getting the Bible in context, stripped of some of the things that have just been culturally put on us. And so a lot of education, a lot of advocacy on that education pillar. In addition, it's reaching the next generation. So we have a program called Zealous 8-2, which comes from Zechariah 8-2, where God says, I am zealous for Zion. And in this, we are really trying to reach the generation ages 18 to 30. And we have two opportunities for young people. And one of those is the Call to Zion tour. And so every summer we have an 11-day tour where we have young people from around the world, every nation that we have offices in and some outside of those, will come together, tour the land, receive teaching, serve in our food bank, and just have an introduction to God's heart for Israel, what the Word of God says concerning Israel. And then we have an 11-month program. And that is where we take 10 young people from around the world. They come and they serve full-time wherever their giftings would place them. So they can be in the food bank, they can be in publications, administrative roles, just we fit them in. They're serving full-time, and then in addition to that is a discipleship component. So they meet together weekly for prayer and Bible study and times of worship, travel to places that the typical tour wouldn't go to and learn on-site. And that is all in effort to educate the church. The second pillar is the pillar of outreach or compassion. And this is where we are reaching out to the Jewish people, blessing them in times of need. And this is the pillar that Patrick oversaw for the past several years in Jerusalem.
Wow.
So, what did that look like, Mr. Patrick?
Well, Bridges for Peace does everything that they can in Israel to build relationships. Mm-hmm. And then we have tools, I guess you could say, that we use to do that. So it kind of depends on what the need is. So we're in relationship with many communities across the nation of Israel, whether it's in the highest levels of government or whether it's in the municipalities. And these communities and these government leaders will come to us and say, we need some help in this area, or we are trying to do this program for our people. Is there any way that Bridges for Peace can be a part of what we want to do? And so that has blown up. And it started with a food bank where volunteers from all around the world would come and pack food. And actually, they started off in the early days gleaning food from fields, produce and things that was going to be left or going to spoil. And they got it before it spoiled. And they started distributing it to the community there in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But it's just blown up since then. Mm-hmm. And Christians from around the world wanted to be a part of it, and so they started to donate, to give to food. And all of a sudden, we were just giving away more and more and more and more food, to the point where we were the largest Christian food bank in the land of Israel.
Wow.
And so we've wow. That was kind of like the core project, but from there it's branched out to programs like where we adopt Israeli communities. So on top of just giving away food, we actually go to communities, we meet with the mayors, we establish programs for people in the community, whether it's food programs for the people that are in poverty, or whether we work with the Holocaust survivors, or whether we do things like put bomb shelters in their communities. This last couple months, we've put bomb shelters in a couple different locations around Israel. So we make commitments to communities, and then we follow through with them. And so some of these communities we've been working with for over 20 years. We have good relationships with the mayors. We have good relationships with the community organizers and the leaders of the community. And we do it all to say, Christians today are different. You might have heard stories about Christians who persecuted you in Eastern Europe during the pogroms, or you might have heard that Christians were a part of killing Jews for the Crusades, right?
Right.
This is the history that the Jewish people know all too well. Mm-hmm. And we're here to say that that's not the Jesus that we follow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We read the Bible and we see that there is a calling and that there's a place for the Jewish people. They are God's chosen people, and we are here to stand with and bless you. And so they're getting a new message. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that mm-hmm. they can receive this new message is when we work with the children. And so we have a Feed a Child program where people from around the world, they sponsor a child. And so we call it Feed a Child, and it's like kind of a sponsorship program. And they make a donation, and then with that donation, we feed the child a hot meal every day. We give them the books that they need to do school. We provide after-school programs for them. And we just help them be successful in their education. And this is what's changing the mind of a generation, right? These young people know that it's Christians who blessed them and helped them all the way through their education. It's changing the way a whole generation thinks about what Christians are and who Christians are. And, you know, it's very genuine and sincere. If you guys are over there, if we're over there, we're not the kind of people who were picking up stones and throwing them at Jewish people. We're not that kind of people. That we are a different kind of Christian today that stands with and blesses Israel, and we want them to know it. And so we've got many, many things that we're doing. We're bringing in immigrant families. We have an adoption program for immigrant families, and so you can adopt a family, but you don't get to take them home with you.
Sponsor.
You sponsor a family, and we provide groceries for them a couple times a month, bus passes and other things that they need to be successful once they land in Israel. One of the young men that we helped, when he arrived to Israel, he was coming from Russia, and he was a lawyer in Russia. And when he got to Israel, he didn't have a job, didn't know the language, and he had to start his life all over again. So he couldn't just be a lawyer in Russia and then come to Israel and be a lawyer. He had to take the bar test, and he had to study to learn Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And so our team of Bridges for Peace helped him study. We gave them food that they needed for their first year there while they were studying. And after 1 year of hanging out with us and being with us and receiving food, he was able to take the bar test in Hebrew and pass it. I mean, this guy's a genius.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. To be able to do that, I can't imagine taking the bar test in any language, much less a foreign language. But he was able to get his license to practice law in Israel. And I remember him walking into our food bank the day after he passed his test. He came in with a cake in one hand and a newborn baby in the other hand. Wow. And he came in and he gave the cake to Bridges for Peace, and he said, "Thank you for helping me land on my feet, and I want to introduce you to my new baby."
Wow.
And so he started his life in Israel making Aliyah, and he had his wife and his baby, and Bridges for Peace was there the whole time just to stand with him, mostly moral support, although we provided food and a bus pass and help in that area. We were also there just being friends and helping him study and helping him land on his feet. And so we're grateful to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of work with immigrants. In fact, just this last year, there's been a mass immigration from the Ukraine.
Right.
And the war in the Ukraine is not over. We still have Ukrainians that are Jewish, and they have the right to make Aliyah, the right to return to Israel based on the law of the state of Israel, the right of return.
Yes.
And so they are coming into the land of Israel by the thousands, and Bridges for Peace is there to help them. In many cases, we help them with a blanket, with a pots and pans set, a kitchen set, and a Hebrew Bible. And so we're able to help them just have a little bit so that when they move into their empty apartments, they've got something, you know, some blankets, some pots and pans, something to get started with.
Yeah.
And mostly we want to minister to their spirit. And so we give them their very own scriptures. And for some of them, they've never even held a Torah. And so they kiss it sometimes because they're just so happy to have a Bible in their own language. Mm-hmm. And so we get the chance to be a part of that. And one of the great things we had a chance to do this year with the new immigrants is we had certain people from around the world that said, "Hey, we want to make a difference in the lives of a family." And so we said, "Okay, let's think of something that we can do that will really make a difference." And we had a few donors say, "We want to make a serious impact. We want to make a difference." And so they gave a large donation, and we were able to go into the home of a new immigrant family and just fully furnish the entire thing. We were able to give them everything that they needed, not just the pots and pans and the blankets and the Bible, but we gave them the beds and everything else. And so here, watch this video and see just exactly what we're doing in Israel.
Yeah, take a look at this video.
Okay, so this is going to be a unique experience today. We're doing something that we haven't done before. So the family is going to be out at the mall shopping, and the team of Bridges for Peace volunteers from around the world is going to be in the apartment, setting up furniture, getting everything ready, and then when they come back, they're going to see their apartment filled with all the new things we were able to buy for them.
Max and his wife, Tanya, fled war-torn Ukraine with their four-year-old son, Leon. Now, Leon is autistic, and you can imagine what the constant bombardment and the being confined to a bomb shelter did to him. So they had to flee. They walked on foot carrying Leon to the Moldovan border. And from there, they fled to Israel. Now they're here with nothing. They have no money, no savings. How do you start a new life? And that's where we come in. Our agenda for the day, it looks like this. We're going to start out by treating them to breakfast. And then we're going to go shopping for all the clothes and the shoes that they had to leave behind. And that's what you're part of today.
So we're trying to figure out where to put the furniture, how to make it the most comfortable living space possible for them. The couch here, TV there, and then make this into their dining room area behind the couch. And hopefully that'll work. Hopefully it'll be comfortable, but we're just going to have to try and see.
So this is a physical learning center that their autistic son is going to be able to have some engagement and some activity to keep him busy so that he can develop the way that he needs to develop.
I'm a little bit nervous. We just started putting this second wardrobe together. We weren't sure that it was going to fit. But once we got everything else in place, we realized, yes, we can indeed get it in. So we're working against the clock to try to get this last cabinet done.
Right now we're putting together a wardrobe and the bed for this family. And just really excited to be able to be here and be a part of this blessing to new immigrants to Israel. Excited to see their faces when they come back to their house and see everything ready.
So it's 12 o'clock, it is time. Mostly everything is in place and it looks great. We're very excited to have them come and see and just to watch their reaction.
Hello, welcome to your new place.
It was wonderful to see the family come in. They loved it. They were overwhelmed with gratitude and thanks. Tatiana had to go around and give everyone a hug individually because she was so grateful. And of course, she had tears in her eyes. And it's a very meaningful experience and wonderful to see that it means so much. It's a lot of work on our part, but it is so worth it. It is an amazing, amazing blessing for these families. And it's considered a miracle by them because it just seems impossible. But thanks to this incredible donor, we were able to make it happen. And so we're just so grateful.
Wow, that was amazing, Patrick. Seeing how just being able to, I'm so glad the audience got to see that. Mm-hmm. Just seeing the impact, the excitement, mm-hmm. and knowing that, you know, there's so many people that are doing Aliyah, and I think Aliyah coming to Israel, they have nothing, and I feel like we're going to see a lot more of this as anti-Semitism is rising around the globe.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the pressure that God is using in a special way to bring his people back to him, back to the land.
Yeah.
I think there's a purpose to it, but also it's just, it's how can you help? How do you, you can only imagine what it's like to have to uproot your life and just go. And I feel like, again, like we're going to see so much of this coming forward, and Bridges for Peace is going to be huge in helping these in this process. That's amazing.
Yeah, Israel is the homeland for the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And so prophetically, we know that the Jewish people are going to live in the homeland.
Mm-hmm.
And God promised through a covenant to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob that he would give them a land, and that land would be an eternal inheritance. And so we're going to see Jewish people from all around the world coming home. Right now, we have immigration from Russia sort of becoming at an all-time high. There's a real fear in Russia right now that with the government, that they won't even be allowed, the Jewish people there in Russia won't be allowed to leave. Mm. And so even the Jewish agency had to shut down some offices there in Russia. And so we are also working with Russians who are trying to make Aliyah. A lot of times if a Russian's gonna make Aliyah now, they gotta go to a different location and then they can make their way to Israel. They have the right to return, but they are having to kind of work around the nation in order to get to Israel. So we need to pray for these people who really want to make Aliyah, you know, that want to follow God's heart. There's this magnetic draw back mm-hmm. to the land. And it's happened before after the first diaspora. And mm-hmm. now the second diaspora, we see the Jewish people returning home again. Mm-hmm. We've got people coming home from Ethiopia. We're helping with flights to help people come home from Ethiopia. We've worked with the B'nai Menashe, which is a lost tribe from India. They're coming into the land of Israel, and Bridges for Peace is there welcoming them, feeding them, and helping them when they get there. And we work with the different governmental organizations in the land of Israel in order to do this. So it's a partnership. It's something that it takes 50 years to build that kind of a relationship. It's not something that you just right. can show up one day in Israel mm-hmm. and then just be able to do these things. These are right. things that Christians have been working, and Jewish people, whether it's rabbis or whether it's ministers of Knesset, they've been working together to build a relationship. And back to where I started, that's what it's all about, is building this relationship. And so there's other ways that we work to build relationships. We repair people's homes. So we have a team of volunteers that come, and they're good with their hands, and we go into homes, a lot of times Holocaust survivors, and they might need a handrail, or they might have mold in their apartment, and we clean up the mold, or they might have a leaky toilet, and we fix the leaky toilet. All these things that, you know, if you're elderly and you don't have someone to be able to take care of these things, it makes a huge difference. And there again, those are relationships mm-hmm. that we're building.
Yeah.
So Patrick and I had an opportunity several years ago when we first got involved with Bridges for Peace to go in on a home repair project. And this was as part of the young adult tour. We were young adults back then. And we went to Rivka's house. Rivka was a Holocaust survivor from Romania. And she had made Aliyah 5 years before. She had immigrated to Israel about 5 years before we met her. And completely alone. So she didn't have any family members close by. And about a year before we met her, there was a fire in the apartment below her. And then a faucet leak in the apartment above her, a water pipe busted. And so for about a year, she was living with really badly damaged walls. And because she was alone, she didn't have, you know, a son or a grandson to call in to do the repairs. So we showed up with a group of about maybe 10 young people from around the world to repair her walls. And I noticed right away that Rivka was really standoffish. She seemed nervous to have us in her home. This was before I even learned about the history of Christian anti-Semitism. And so just responding to that, she was really nervous, but she knew our leader and she trusted him. And so we went in and we began to repair her walls. And you know, anytime you do a servanthood type of job, it's just so much joy. Yeah. And so everybody was laughing and singing and having a good time. We left that afternoon and came back the next morning. And this time, Rivka just met us with the door wide open. And she led us into her little tiny kitchen where, from what little she had coffee and tea and some cakes laid out for us. And she greeted us with kisses on the cheek. Aww. In just that one day, her heart began to change. And so we continued to work, just like we did the day before, scrubbing the walls, repairing the walls, laughing with one another. And now Rivka's talking to us, and she's trying to learn some of our English words, and she's trying to communicate to us, and just having a beautiful time. And as we're repairing her walls, the Lord reminded me of what he said in Isaiah 60:10 to the Gentile nations, actually to the Jewish people. He said, the foreigners will rebuild your walls, and my priests will minister to you. For in my anger I struck you, but in my mercy I will have compassion on you. And this is one of those moments where, again, I realize we're living in Bible times. God made promises to these people, and here we were, the nations, repairing the walls, repairing her walls in her Jerusalem home. And so it's just the simple things. You know, we have those needs too. We need someone to repair our walls. We need someone to do our plumbing and small electrical jobs. But when somebody will come in and just serve out of a heart to not gain anything in return, it begins to bond hearts. And we've seen this happen over and over again as our teams have gone into the homes of needy Israelis, and many of them are Holocaust survivors. You know, we've got the last generation of survivors, and we're delivering food to them, and we're delivering holiday gifts to them, and we're repairing their walls when there's a need.
You know, one of the great things that we do for Holocaust survivors every year is on Passover and Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, Feast of Trumpets, we give the food, we give bags of food so that they can celebrate the feast, and then we also give elements so that they can celebrate for the feast. So for Passover, we give away matzah and grape juice, and for Yom Teruah, we give away apples and honey. That's the way that they celebrate there, and so we have teams of people that come in. It's like a special packing day, and we pack up all kinds of extra special gifts, and then we take them out to Holocaust survivors all around the city of Jerusalem. And I've got a video about it if you want to see it.
Yes, please.
It's an exciting time to be here in Jerusalem at the Assistance Center, where we are packing for Passover. If you look around, you see that we've got volunteers from all around the world that are packing food parcels to give away to Holocaust survivors and our adoption clients so that they can have the things that they need to have Passover this year. And so we have partnered with organizations across the country to make sure that Holocaust survivors are getting the things they need. If you look in one of these bags, we're giving away this year a special Passover Seder plate. And this Seder plate has a place for all of the elements that will remind the families of the Exodus from Egypt. So these things are a very important part of celebrating Passover for the Jewish people. And so Bridges for Peace has been able to provide this to over 1,400 Holocaust survivors this year so that they will be able to have these elements on their table. We give away matzah right here, and we give away grape juice, and we give away haroset. The haroset is meant to remind the people of the mortar that they used to put the bricks together while they were in Egypt. And then, of course, we also pack a full bag of food. You can see some of the elements that are in this food bag. Kosher for Passover, which is special because there's certain things that they can't have. But it creates a full package of food that they'll be able to use to prepare their Passover Seder meal. We want to say from the bottom of our hearts to all of the people who have worked so hard to make this possible, thank you very much, and Hag Sameach.
That is just so amazing. I hope that y'all enjoyed watching that. It just sounds, you know, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. For the nations that don't want to let their Jewish people go, you know, that's very evil on some level. Yeah. But, you know, as they come back to the land, that's, you know, we need to bless them. And I can see how Bridges of Peace is growing and with such an amazing work over the years and building those relationships. I bet it's really hard to leave Jerusalem right now. You've built and have friends and family and a community. I mean, you should probably shop at the same shop. You go to the same bakery every day. Yeah. And so to leave, especially during a time of war, tell us what it was like. I mean, you were there October 7th at the end of the feast and everything's going and you've got kids and your community and your ministry. And tell us a little bit how that was affected your home life and you know, looking at the prospect of moving here now.
We've had a lot of people say, oh, good, you got out. you know, and really our hearts are still there.
Yeah.
There are two dates in history that I will never forget where I was and what I was doing leading up to this, and that is 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people can say that. I'll never forget where I was and what I was doing. And then for me also the Challenger explosion. Those are things that just mark my childhood. And October 7th has become one of those dates for at least for all of the Israelis, for many people watching and people who care about what's happening in Israel. And I woke up that morning, Shabbat morning, and I did notice that there were a lot of red alert alerts on my phone. And for those of you who don't know, Red Alert is it's an app that you can get that shows when rockets are coming in to Israel. And so I noticed that there was a lot of red alerts, but sometimes that happens living in Israel. I went to fix myself a cup of coffee, and I remember my thought was, it's Shabbat, I can have a big coffee. And so right after fixing my cup of coffee, the sirens started to sound in Jerusalem. And again, this is something that we lived through in our past 10 years. And so I did what we do. We went into one of the rooms in our apartment, was designated as a safe room. I had a guest with me, one of my daughters, two dogs, got into the safe room and waited. And typically after the siren is done, you're supposed to wait 10 minutes. And so we were gonna wait the 10 minutes and then we heard boom. So that meant we couldn't leave. And then a siren again. And so this happened several times. We were actually in our safe room for maybe about 4 or 5 hours because it just wasn't time to leave. And we heard several booms in Jerusalem, Iron Dome intercepting the rockets. And nobody knew what was going on. We knew that this was big. Immediately we knew this was different than anything we had at least lived through. And we got on our phones and started reading messages from people in our community. And we were just in shock. We were in shock as very slowly news was getting out from friends and friends of friends that we had been infiltrated. That Hamas was in the communities by Gaza. That Hamas was in the homes. One family reported that for 4 hours they were hiding and they can hear the footsteps and they can hear them shooting at the rooms. Praise God, the rooms that they were not in, and this family survived. But we started just reading about the atrocities, that people were being murdered, that women were being raped, that nobody had an answer. How did this happen? And in the days in the aftermath after that, just a real deep sadness over the entire country. Everybody was affected by this, whether they had friends and family living by Gaza or sons and daughters, husbands called up into the reserves, everybody was affected. And so our last few weeks there, it was a different Israel. It was a different Israel. It was definitely marked by sadness. Usually doing life in Israel is really fast paced. You go into the grocery store, you make your little jokes with the checker and you leave. But it was much slower. And rather than just lehitraot, see you later, it was be safe. Be safe. There was a deeper level of care, but definitely marked by this sadness. And then of course, in the days and the weeks, and now yesterday it was 3 months, the months after just hearing from the hostages that have been released, the things that they faced, finding out that more of them are indeed, in fact, not held hostage, but have been murdered. It's every day. And I think one of the things that we want people to realize 3 months later is that it's not over. It's not over. You know, I think daily we were hearing different reports and the world has been horrified. The people who have listened to the truth, they have been horrified. It has been a wake-up call. But sometimes you get so separated by time. And then being in a different nation, being in the U.S., you know, separated by distance, that you forget it's still going on. We still have hostages. There was a little baby boy named Kafir that A lot of people were watching because he was the youngest hostage. If he's still alive, he just turned 1 year old. And so it's still very real. And so preparing to leave that, to come here, was hard. Yeah. It was hard because there was a lot of purpose in everything we were doing. Our team mustered together and began to put together supplies and clothing and food for the soldiers. A lot of different volunteers, even from different congregations, were coming to our organization because everybody wanted to be a part of serving the nation. Mm-hmm. But what we do realize is because anti-Semitism is at an all-time high, and it is happening here in the United States, the Lord sent us to a different war zone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so our prayer is that we would just be used to speak the truth, even if that means telling the sad stories, telling the horrible atrocities, but realizing this is unique in that it's because these people were Jewish. This is a spiritual hatred of God's chosen people. It is a spiritual fight over God's chosen land. And the body of believers worldwide need to know this. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult being away, but we see the plan of God on our lives. And I want to say we're ready, but we are definitely filled with His Holy Spirit for everything that He sets before us.
Well, praise the Lord for His loving kindness, His mercy, His compassion, His provision. And I know that there are so many miracles that we're also hearing, and I'm really thankful for those good reports. And I'm thankful for Bridges for Peace, what y'all are doing in the land. And now as the Lord brings you here to continue that work, the bridge is still there.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit longer of a bridge, but it's still there.
Yes,
and a beautiful work that He is calling you to do here, because I know that we do need education in the churches of the important role that we have as a prayer wall around Israel and so many different things, but the building that relationship and growing that. So thank you for what y'all are doing here in America.
It's an honor.
So will you be going into churches, or how is that ministry going to look here?
Well, we're gonna go wherever the Lord opens doors. Mm-hmm. That's the way we've always lived our life. We just go where the Lord opens doors, and we try to follow Him, you know, every day. And so what does it look like? We're going to come be on God's Learning Channel, and we're going to go to churches, and we're going to sit down in people's homes and prayer meetings. We have a ministry called High Groups, which are prayer groups all around the United States, where people gather together in someone's home, and they pray for Israel. And that's biblical. I mean, the Bible tells us in Psalm 122 to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. And we have believers all around this nation praying for Israel. And so that's something that's very close to the heart of Bridges for Peace, is to equip and to engage a team of people around the nation to pray. Because we believe that prayer moves the hand of God.
Yes.
And we believe that when we pray for Israel, we're praying God's will. And so we can partner with God in prayer. And so that's one of the main things that we're going to be doing, is working with these high groups, working just with whoever we can to really just put this message out. If you noticed, when Rebecca told the story about October 7th, she said she went to the safe room. I actually wasn't home when on October 7th when this happened. I was in preparation to come back to the United States. So the Lord called us back to the United States before the war ever started. Okay, so it was about a year and a half ago where the Lord called us back to the United States. And it takes a long time to move a family, you know, across the world. It's not something that you do on a whim. So we were in preparation for this. And before we left, God put it on my heart to walk the length and the breadth of the land of Israel. And so I started hiking the Israel National Trail. So I started all the way in the north on Mount Hermon, and I was making my way all the way down to the south in Eilat. And I was hiking on the trail when, on October 7th, when the tragedies happened.
Wow.
And I heard the bombs, and I thought it was the IDF doing a rehearsal. So it was a very interesting time. I didn't have Wi-Fi, I didn't have internet or anything like that. So I actually did not know what was going on immediately. But once I found out, I had Jewish friends calling me and trying to get me home, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. once I got home, immediately we just engaged in the work. And so someone replaced me. His name is Daniel. He's an incredible guy. Daniel Kirkeva works as the Israel Operations Director now in Bridges for Peace in Jerusalem. And he had everything in order so that when we when I got to Jerusalem, we were immediately able to go out into the communities, immediately able to go to the front line. We were bringing tourniquets. We were bringing medical supplies. A lot of it came in from the UK. We were bringing camelbacks, and we were bringing scarves and sweaters and shirts and socks and all the different things that the soldiers were going to need. And we had special days where everybody came in and packed these things out, and immediately we got them out to the front lines. So the team just immediately started working. And in the few weeks after the initial attack on October 7th, we started to go to the communities and visit the people, mm-hmm. the wow. people that were affected. Mm-hmm. And one of the communities we went to was Kfar Aza. Mm-hmm. That was one of the hardest hit communities. And we walked around mm-hmm. the kibbutz. And I don't know if you've ever been in a war zone or not. I never had been before. The place was destroyed. It's like they threw grenades inside of apartments. And the person who walked us around told us about where people were dragged out of their apartments mm-hmm. and murdered. And some of these people were dragged out of their apartments and dragged into Gaza, which was only about a kilometer away. Mm. And we were told the story of this girl who was a veterinarian, and she was taken. Her brother-in-law was there to show us around, and he told us that they were all praying for her because she had been taken into Gaza, and they didn't know what had happened to her. And so you can only, if your mind just has a little bit of imagination, right. it's horrific.
Yeah.
And so this was, for me, one of the most intense things I've ever witnessed before in my life. Mm-hmm. It's being there at ground zero, where these attacks happened. The people couldn't stay in the community, so there was nobody living there anymore because there were so many people that were devastated.
Yeah.
Another kibbutz that we worked with, Kibbutz Be'eri, was the hardest hit kibbutz. And when we got to meet with the people from Kibbutz Be'eri, it was at the Dead Sea.
Mm.
Okay, mm. and so because they all evacuated, they put them in like hotels. Okay. And there's a lot of, you know, the tourists are all gone now.
Right.
Right. So there's these empty hotels mm-hmm. and they need a place to stay. So I think the government, you know, helps rent out these hotels, and they put the whole kibbutz in this hotel at the Dead Sea. And when we went there, they began to show us around, and they had trauma centers set up all over the place.
Wow.
And there were memorials for all the people that were dead. Wow. And there were posters of every person that had been kidnapped. Wow. And there were places for the children, and there were therapists. And we sat with a woman, and she told us her story, and she said that on October 7th, her husband held the safe room door closed as long as he possibly could. But eventually Hamas got the gun in the door and shot him in the arm. Mm. And then she had to hold the door closed and hold his arm to keep him from bleeding out. But then they started a fire in the apartments right by their safe room. So she's holding the door closed, he's bleeding, they start a fire. She had to go open the window to let the smoke out. And when she did that, her husband bled out and died.
Oh.
And so she had to sit in that safe room holding the door closed with her two children as her husband was dead right there until Hamas left. And she did make it out, and her children are safe and they are alive. And she told me, she said, it's going to take me a little bit of time to be able to deal with the trauma. Mm-hmm. Right now we just have to survive.
Yeah.
And Bridges for Peace was there to hug her and mm. help her survive at wow. that moment. And so we work with, you know, these Jewish organizations to be in the community when tragedy happens. And my life is forever changed because mm-hmm. of that. And mm-hmm. as we were driving home that day from the Dead Sea, I was thinking about a verse in the Bible from Romans chapter 11, and I was thinking about a tree, right? This is Romans chapter 11, and it talks about a tree where the Gentiles have been grafted into a tree, mm-hmm. right? And it's also a tree for the Jewish people, right? This is a tree that God has planned to be steadfast and for Jew and Gentile to live and to grow together. And I was thinking about trees, and I remember being at Yad Vashem. Mm-hmm. And you've been to Yad Vashem
yes,
before.
Yes.
And if you would go to Yad Vashem, you would see a forest full of trees. And on those trees are names. Mm. Names of all different people. And they were the names of the people who stood with and supported and rescued Jewish people during the Holocaust. They're considered the righteous among the nations. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I've been to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial Museum, and I've looked at these trees and I've asked myself, what would I have done? Where would I have been? Would I have a tree here? Mm. You know, would I have had the guts and the courage that it takes to stand up in the face of evil? Mm. What if it wasn't popular? What if people, you know, what if I lost my career or my job or favor or whatever over standing with a certain group of people? Because that's what happened to people. It's not only that did they protect and save Jewish people. I mean, Oskar Schindler practically lost his factory over the whole deal. Mm-hmm. Like, people were losing their livelihood to protect these Jewish people. Would I do the same thing? And see, I wondered that years ago when I started going to Yad Vashem. And now, today, after being at Kibbutz Be'eri, I'm asking myself the same question. Mm. We're living in a day and age where there's more anti-Semitism than any time in my life, and probably more than any time since the Holocaust. Some might even argue more. Yeah. Obviously, we've not seen the atrocities of the Holocaust yet, but the earth is ripe for that type of atrocity to happen again. And where are the Christians going to be in this time? Where are we going to stand? Are we going to stand on the side of righteousness? Are we going to stand with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are we going to stand on the word of God? Or are we going to allow our Jewish brothers and sisters to continue to be raped and murdered and killed? What are we going to do? I think that that's a real question that we have to ask ourselves. And I think that it's going to take some soul searching. And I don't know that we can actually answer it until we actually get right to that moment. Mm. But I think if we would do something to resolve within ourselves that we will stand on the word of God, we'll stand on the truth of the promises of God, and that we will obey the scripture as in the infallible word of God, then I think we know what the answer is. I think we know what we have to do. And that's my message today for the church. And my question is, will you have a tree if we get a chance? I mean, most of the people never got to see their tree, right? Mm-hmm. They died before it was ever planted.
Yeah.
But their memory, their legacy lives on because they stood for righteousness.
Very powerful and very anointed message. Thank you so much for sharing that. I can feel the Holy Spirit as you were telling that story. Can you please tell our audience? I mean, how maybe the website, a little bit, maybe a phone number, an email, how they can get involved, sign up for the newsletter. I'm assuming I'm going to go do that as soon as I can. But give them your website and how people can get in touch with you. I think there's a lot of preachers out there who are watching. Mm-hmm. And who would love to have you guys come and visit them.
Yeah. Well, go to bridgesforpeace.com, and there will be tabs there to get our further contact information, phone number, email address. But really, just go to bridgesforpeace.com, see the wealth of information that we have there. All of our programs are listed there. So if you are compelled by one of our pledge programs and you say, I want to feed a child monthly, or I want to adopt a new immigrant family monthly, those programs don't happen except that Christians from around the world give monthly. So we do look forward to connecting with those that would be interested. So bridgesforpeace.com.
Yeah, you can also find one of the prayer groups if you want to start mm-hmm. Praying. You can go onto the website and find one of the high prayer groups, and you can join a prayer group. There's one in your area. There's sporadic throughout the country, but there may be one in your area. If you feel so led, you can get in touch with some of the people in the office and maybe even start your own prayer group.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
But one of the things I think you could do, if you have any Jewish people in your community, just tell them you're standing with them.
Yes.
Tell them that you're a Christian and that you love them, and they might wonder why, and you just say, because I love the Bible, I love the God of the Bible. And if you have a synagogue or you see some Jewish people, say, you know what, I'm praying for Israel. I'm praying for the land of Israel. I'm praying for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people. And we're not leaving you alone in this time. I think that that would be a real ministry just to the people in your community.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Patrick and Rebecca, thank you so much for traveling all this way to spend time with us and share with us about your ministry and your lives. You meet people in the world and you have a common spirit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've known you longer than we have. But what a powerful hour that was. I hope for you, if you were inspired, I'm inspired, stand up and don't be silent anymore. I think we always say, you know, like you said, what would we do?
Yeah.
Today's the day, you know, mm-hmm. to show the world what you will do.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we know that things are going to get crazier as time goes on. And we all have to prepare today spiritually. The best way to fight Hamas is to fight the Hamas that's within you. Stand up. Stop doing the things that you know you need to stop. And start reading your Bible. Start praying and asking God to direct your life and to be Lord over your life. Jesus has set us free, and he wants us to serve him. We are supposed to be sold out and serving for him. That's the best way to stand also against Hamas is to fight the Hamas that's telling you to stay in bed. and the Hamas that says you're not good enough, but you are, because you're made in the image of Messiah and he's set us free. You are a child of God.
Yes.
So Holly, do you mind closing us with a word of prayer and sending our Melakim? These are their angels.
Yes.
They are their angels, and they're coming to your community. Invite them over to your community, and we look forward to having you again, telling us kind of the new update.
Yes,
and I feel like that'll happen soon.
Yes, thank you so much, Patrick and Rebecca, and just want to say a blessing for you, but also just want to say thank you to our GLC and Light of the Southwest viewers, and send blessings your way. Thank you so much for tuning in. But we'll close now with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, King over all the earth. Thank you for sending your Son, Messiah, Yeshua, to this world as a servant. He came and he served, and he laid down his life out of obedience to you. And I thank you, Abba, because of Yeshua, because of what he did, that we are grafted in and a part of your family, adopted into the Commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that is why we stand with Israel and we lay down our lives to support, to pray, to give, to do whatever we can for your body of believers, Abba, for your body, your family, our Jewish brothers and sisters, anyone who follows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We stand with them. And I thank you for Patrick and Rebecca. I thank you for Bridges of Peace and what they are doing, Abba, to further your kingdom. So may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you, and I pray all this in the name and merit of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
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 Shalom, shalom. Thank you for joining us.